Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned, this is the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany, as I told the children that. And Epiphany is the season in which we celebrate Jesus Christ being made known, the awareness of who Jesus is. And on this first Sunday in this season, which is going to take us right up to Ash Wednesday, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And this is one of the two times in the Gospel of Matthew when we hear God actually speak. Guess when the second time is? It is at the Transfiguration, the very last Sunday in the season of Epiphany in the Gospel of Matthew. We hear God's spoken word. How interesting. This season of enlightenment, this season of God being made known, the season we call light, is bookended this particular year in God speaking. And we get to hear this morning what God was saying. And so it's going to be a fun journey for us over the next 2 months. Ash Wednesday begins on March 1st, and that's the first day in the season of Lent. So over the next 8 weeks, 4, 6, 7 weeks, we have a chance to discover and be enlightened by Jesus Christ. This is one of the rare times in our gospel that we heard this morning, and it was short, wasn't it? When the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, is present together. And when we say the Holy Trinity, we say God the Father, God the Creator, God the Maker of all things, right? God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the one who dwells with us today. So if we take a look at Jesus, well, Jesus has been on the scene up until this point, when you think about it, right? So, we had celebrated the birth of Jesus. We celebrated the shepherds, the angels, and everyone coming to pay homage to Jesus. We know Jesus as the Lord's Son, as our Savior, as God incarnate. And I don't know about you, but doesn't it feel like Christmas was more than just 2 weeks ago? It does feel like it was more than 2 weeks ago. But do you remember the names that we called Jesus back then? And still do. But in particular, we talked about Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, right? All those words that we used for Jesus. And we remember that as God in Jesus is God's Son, it is God with us. So now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And in our gospel lesson today, how is the Holy Spirit depicted? Do you remember? As a dove. Now, when we think of doves, what do we think about? Like very, right, the white dove, that, you know, flowing, very graceful, right? You see the dove is like, oh, can you imagine descending slowly down from heaven upon Jesus? And it's all very peaceful and quiet and gentle and graceful and gliding and all that. Have you ever seen a fast or an actual quick foot real life, have you ever seen a dove fly? Yes. Is it anything like that?
No.
Everything is always slowed down when they show that, isn't it? Because a dove is just the opposite of that. A dove has a target in mind, and their goal is to get to that target as quickly as possible. And so you probably have not even realized that a dove has flown in front of your face and has just speeded past you. You can't even see the wings going. It just kind of looks like one of those, like a football going flying past you. You hear it. You can certainly hear it. But you would never think of that as being a dove. They're fast. They know what they want. They are intentional, very intentional. They fly like a bullet. They fly like a rocket. I watched a couple of them. Carl and I were in our home on the west coast of Florida, and I would see this bird kind of like dive into the tree and then dive out and then like out of the tree and like really quick and then dive into the tree and then dive out of the tree. And I said, what the heck is that? And I look a little closer and it's a mourning dove that is building a nest. And I couldn't even tell it was a mourning dove until it rested on the tree branch. And then I could see what was in the dove's mouth and its beak, that it was trying to get things from elsewhere. But when it was traveling, it was like a bullet. Dove into the tree, out of the tree. Into the tree, out of the tree. The other night, I was standing outside in our alleyway. We live here in Bedford Park. And these two things, I didn't know what they were, came flying past my head. I mean, fast. And you can hear them, right? And they land down the street. There's water there. And then they start putting their beaks and their heads into the water. They were two mourning doves. I never would have thought that those were doves that went flying past my head like that. So now I want you to envision this. The sky opens, and a dove descends downward and settles on Jesus. What does that look like this time, now that you know how a dove flies? Like a dive bombing going on. Yeah, just comes shooting down really fast. Very intentional, very forceful, very powerful, knowing exactly where or what its target is. That's how we have to think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very intentional. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what it's going after. Quick, just like a dove. Then there's God the Father. Now, God isn't identified, is he? We just know that there's this voice from heaven that speaks. And by the way, notice how it says the heavens open. This is not a gentle opening. The dove floats downward, because we now know there's no floating going on. This is an intentional down. But when God speaks, do you think it's just a very gentle opening of the sky? No. It's like God's voice is so powerful that it rips through the sky. Heaven can't help but burst open. It's not gentle, just like the dove. And then there are words spoken, words that are meant for Jesus. This is my dearly loved son. That's one translation. A translation that we enjoy is, this is my beloved son who brings me great joy. Notice that God doesn't say the name Jesus. It doesn't say, Jesus, you're my beloved son. It's, this is my beloved son. It's not that God didn't name Jesus, because we know that the name was given by God, Jesus, which means the one who saves, our Savior. But you see, that is a description of what Jesus does. This is my beloved son. In that statement, God is identifying who Jesus is. At our baptism, lots of things happen. We die, we rise in Christ. We are forgiven of our sins. But we are also told who we are. I want you to picture what it must look like, especially when we have a baptism again, for that Holy Spirit to come out of heaven and dive onto the child that's being baptized, the adult that's being baptized. And we're given a name. We're given a new name, a new identity, beloved child of God. I had asked Steve if he would just hold off on, there's another birthday in the house. And it is my birthday today. And so 57 years ago, my mother and father, when I was born, gave me a name. Now, they argued over my name. My mother wanted Jane. My father said, yeah, but, you know, the kids could tease her and she could be plain Jane. My father wanted Colleen. Well, my mother was from Germany, and my father, which you'll find out shortly, just felt that was a little too, my mother felt that was a little too ethnic for her, given that her maiden name was Kubosch, and she just felt like we need to have some semblance of German in here, because my maiden name or my birth name is McDonald. So she just felt Colleen McDonald was just a little bit too much for her to be able to deal with. So they settled on Mary Ann. Mary being named after Jesus' mother, earthly mother, and Ann after Mary's mother. And then, oh, they argued over one more name. That's right, Barbara. My mother always wanted a boy. She felt she was a boy's mother, and she had three boys. And when her daughter was born, she said, well, we'll call her Barbara because I want to call her Bobby. And my father was like, no way. I waited for this girl. It's not going to be Bobby. So Barbara became my middle name. It was my grandmother's, my maternal grandmother's middle name. So I was given the name Mary Ann Barbara McDonald. And for years and years and years, my goal in life was to make a name for myself. I don't think I'm like any one of you, right? We work in our careers, we do all these things because we want to make a name for ourselves. Isn't that what we're told to do? Go and make a name for yourself, be somebody, and we strive to do that. And I did. I did that for 46, well, not 46 years, but for quite a number of years until all of a sudden I realized through reading the Bible, through hearing the gospel proclaimed, that I've been given a baptismal name, which happened 3 weeks from today, 57 years ago. And that name is Beloved Child of God. But it went deeper than a name. It became my identity. And I didn't realize that. For so many years, I was trying to be Mary Ann Barbara McDonald. And then when I got married, Mary Ann Barbara Kallenbach. But you see, I didn't understand that that just describes who I am. That isn't who I am. That didn't make me. What made me is my maker. Our maker, our creator, saying, you are my beloved child. And in you I am well pleased. In you I take great joy. And when that began to click, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. All I wanted to do, all I needed to do, was live into and out of that identity. So you can call me whatever it is that you want. And I say you, of course, in general. Because it doesn't matter. And you know, as kids or even now as adults, we're called all kinds of things, aren't we? As a kid, you have glasses. What are you called? Four eyes. I was not a skinny little child. I was a heavy girl. So there are names that went along with that. And for those who have that tendency to always be thin, there are names that go along with that. There are names that go along with whatever our politics might happen to be. We're labeled and given a name to that. We are labeled based on the color of our skin, based on our sexual orientation. I could go on and on and on, can't I? You know all the names that you've either been given or that you have spoken of others. But there's one name that matters the most, and that is being a beloved child of God. We hear this today for Jesus. Jesus hears, you are my beloved son. But I want you to hear today, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved child. That's the only identity that matters. And when we're not secure in that, we're going to look everywhere possible other than to God. and other than living out that identity. Because let me tell you, there are so many, this entire world wants you to redefine yourself based on whatever it is they're selling. Don't let them do that. You know who you are. You know whose you are. You have been given a unique talent from our Lord. Live into that talent and identity. During this season, the Epiphany, take time each day, if not once a week, to think about, what does that mean, this identity that I have in Christ as a beloved child of God? What does that really mean to me? And how am I going to live that out this year? Because that's what we do. We live into who we are each and every day. This is not something about eternity. If we think about eternity, eternity begins right now and continues forever. Over these weeks in Epiphany, we're going to explore what it looks like to live into the identity. And it's going to be a fun exploration. Hold on for the ride. We get to hear what Jesus calls us to do in our new identity and how Jesus calls us to live, especially as we hear the words from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount is magnificent, and we're going to discover together what that means for us individually and as a community of faith. You have a new identity. You are a beloved child of God. And as a beloved child of God, God is indeed filled with joy. Imagine what your life might look like. The freedom that you would experience as you come into living into that identity. It is the most freeing experience you will ever have. You see, I may be 57 years old, but I've only just started to live into the life that I've been called to live into. Those who are in their 20s, I celebrate them when they know what their calling is at such an early age. For those who are in their 80s, I celebrate and rejoice when I see a change in the person as they understand who God is in their life. Take this time. Remember your baptism. And if you have not been baptized, my goodness, we can do our baptism here. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Live into that and celebrate that. Amen.